In a long-awaited decision from the Supreme Court, the justices handed down a 5-4 ruling on June 28th that upheld the constitutionality of President Obama's Affordable Care Act, which mandates that all citizens who are financially able purchase private health insurance or be subject to a tax or penalty. Conservative Chief Justice John Roberts surprised many by siding with the court's liberal members, providing a majority opinion that will allow the health care reform legislation to be implemented as planned by 2014. However, in writing the court's opinion, Roberts explained that he upheld the legislation's individual mandate as a tax, not as a valid exercise of Congress's Commerce Clause power. In its decision, the court trimmed back the power of the federal government to impose the Affordable Care Act's goal of expanding Medicaid eligibility in the states. By a 7-2 vote, the justices prohibited Washington from withdrawing all Medicaid funds to states that refused to participate in the expansion. Despite the court's ruling, public opinion polls find that the nation remains largely divided on their support or opposition to the health care reform law. However, the reasons many oppose the bill vary widely. Advocates for a single-payer universal health care system, such as exists in most other industrialized nations of the world, are critical of the Affordable Care Act for its severe limitations. They point out that once fully implemented, some 26 million Americans will not be covered under the law, and that the measure won't do much to effectively contain sharply rising health care costs. Your reporter spoke with Dr. Steffi Woolhandler, professor of public health at the City University of New York and co-founder of the group Physicians for a National Health Program. Here she assesses the Supreme Court ruling on the Affordable Care Act and the way forward for advocates of a single-payer health care system.
You know, it's a good thing that the Supreme Court decided to obey the Constitution rather than play politics. I think them playing politics and overturning the law on really bogus grounds would have been a very bad thing. The law has some modest benefits, but they are modest indeed, and there are also some very big downsides to the Obamacare law. One of the biggest downsides is that when it's fully implemented, the law will leave 26 million Americans completely uninsured. And we know from some prior work we've done that when you have 26 million Americans, you can expect to have about 26,000 deaths annually caused by lack of health insurance. So 26 million uninsured Americans is simply unacceptable to me as a physician, and it means we need to be moving forward toward that single-payer, expanded, improved Medicare for all that you were talking about earlier.
Dr. Woolhandler, from your perspective of being an advocate of single-payer, is having the Affordable Care Act in place after the Supreme Court ruling a better place, a better starting point for universal coverage than if the law was struck down by the Supreme Court or repealed in the near future?
Well, it's hard to say. At this point, the Obamacare is the law of the land. I doubt it's going to be repealed, so I think that's the base we're starting from. So the slogan we're using is forward to single payer. Whether you think Obamacare was a slight step forward, a step backward, a step to the side, is somewhat irrelevant now because this is what we have, and it's clear that it's not a solution, that we're still going to have 26 million uninsured people, that we're still going to have tens of millions more middle-class people who buy health insurance in good faith only to find that when they get a serious illness, their insurance fails them, that there's too many gaps like copayments, deductibles, and uncovered services so that despite having health insurance, they still can't afford care. So, and the health care costs are going to continue to go through the roof. And all of those things are going to push us to a new round of reform. I don't expect to hear much about that until 2014 when the law goes into effect and people get a chance to look at what it is and say, wow, this is in effect, it's fully implemented, and there's nothing here for my family, and there's nothing here for me, and my health care is still too affordable, and I can't get the health care I need and deserve. So we do expect the debate to reopen fairly soon after full implementation in 2014. Until then, I think a lot of folks will continue to be very confused about what's in the bill and what isn't. Some of that confusion sown by the sort of crazy talk that the Republicans have been doing, but some of the confusion actually sown by people who support President Obama and feel like they can't say a word bad about anything he's doing. I certainly hope Obama beats Romney in next election, but I don't think it's reasonable for people to keep their mouths shut and not tell the truth about the problems and some of these laws that Obama has passed.
The political reality in the estimation of many observers is that the giant insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies call the shots in Washington. And the question really is, how can their power and money be defeated and allow a single-payer or Medicare-for-all system to go forward? What's the focus of your work going to be in the coming months and years?
Well, we think we need to build a movement. The way we got civil rights in this country was not a bunch of politicians talking about it, but building a movement to win civil rights. The way we ended the Vietnam War in this country wasn't, you know, persuading politicians. It was a political movement. And the American people are really suffering under the current health care system. They may like the doctors and hospitals, but they're tormented by the payment system, knowing that when they get sick, they can be bankrupted, that if they somehow manage to get care, you know, they're ruining their grandkids' future by spending all the family assets. So people really suffer under the current health care system, and I think it's really not just possible, but probable that we'll be able to build a movement of the American people to demand a single-payer solution. I'm very unhappy with corporate power in Washington, but we're not giving up on democracy. We still think we can make democracy work if people get involved.
That was Dr. Steffi Wohlhandler, professor of public health at the City University of New York and co-founder of the group Physicians for a National Health Program. Learn more about groups advocating a single-payer healthcare system by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.